The realization came to her one day in winter. For once, both girls were indoors. Adeline had been induced by Emmeline to stay in the warmth, by the fire, out of the rain. Ordinarily, the missus lived in a blur of fog. On this day, she was blessed by an unexpected clearing in her vision, a new sharpness of hearing, and as she passed the door of the drawing-room, she caught a fragment of their noise and stopped. Sounds flew backward and forward between them like tennis balls in some game, sounds that made them smile or laugh or send each other malicious glances. Their voices rose in squeals and swooped down in whispers. From any distance, you'd have thought it the lively, free-flowing chatter of ordinary children. But hearing it, the missus felt her heart sink. It was no language she had ever heard, not English and not the French that she had got used to when George's Mathilde was alive and the Charlie still used with Isabel. John was right. They didn't talk properly. The shock of understanding froze her there in the doorway, and as sometimes happens, one illumination opened the door to another. The clock on the mantelpiece chimed, and, as always, the mechanism under glass sent a little bird out of a cage to flap a mechanical circuit before re-entering the cage on the other side. As soon as the girls heard the first chime, they looked up at the clock. Two pairs of wide green eyes watched, unblinking, as the bird laboured around the inside of the bell, wings up, wings down, wings up, wings down. There was nothing particularly cold, particularly inhuman about their gaze. It was just the way children look at inanimate moving objects. But it froze the missus to the core. For it was exactly the same as the way they looked at her when she scolded, chided, or exhorted. "They don't realize that I'm alive," she thought. "They don't know that anyone is alive but themselves." It is a tribute to her goodness that she didn't find them monstrous. Instead, she felt sorry for them. How lonely they must be, how very lonely. And she turned from the doorway and shuffled away. Turning it over in her head, she thought she understood why it was. Twins, always together, always two. If it was normal in their world to be two, what would other people, who came not in twos but ones, seem like to them? "We must seem like halves," the missus mused. And she remembered a word, a strange word, it had seemed at the time, that meant people who had lost parts of themselves. "Amputees. That's what we are to them. Amputees."